to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. And in our study of Jeremiah, we have found that Jeremiah has been given an assignment by God. God gave it to him. He didn't ask for it. God gave it to him. And in that assignment, which was a very heavy assignment, and thus in chapter one just for a moment. We'll move quickly. But in Jeremiah chapter one, remembering that God is, you already have Daniel and Habakkuk and Zephaniah and Ezekiel, but you also have Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is, in among other things, is looking, and he understands that he is to be the spokesman, to be the witness, to be the voice, like John the Baptist, to be the voice to Israel, to warn them. And in verse chapter 1 of Jeremiah, and in verse 14, then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. So there's a great problem coming with Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army coming down upon Jerusalem. And in the process of that, his job is to awaken a people. And the people aren't interested in being awake. The people are not friendly. They're unfriendly, actually. So now, in Jeremiah chapter 1 and in verse 17, God has given an assignment, and God gives wonderful protection. If God wants it, it will be. If God gives it, it shall happen. If God wants it, you can bet on it. And if God wants you to do, be, come, go, it'll be. It won't make any difference if all of the angels in the world oppose. If God wants it, it will be. Now, Jeremiah is given great encouragement. In verse 18, remember, I'm going to go to verse 18. Behold, I have made thee a defense city, an iron pillar, brazen of bronze walls, against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes of Judah, against the priests of Judah, against the people of the land, so that you understand where is the ally, where are my allies. Verse 19. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail. So there's going to be a contest, war, conflict. Not prevail against thee. Why? For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Now, that's God's, their assignment is given to Jeremiah. But Jeremiah has a responsibility in this assignment. Verse 17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, tighten the belt, get yourself ready, alert, awake. Therefore, gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. So Jeremiah has to have a commitment to what God is going to do. Without the commitment, Jeremiah is in trouble. There must be a commitment. If God gives the assignment, then the believing heart must have a commitment to it, at whatever cost. Now, and Jeremiah has that commitment. And everyone's against him. We just read in verse 18 and 19. Everyone, as you could think it, you could think of. Now, it is, and in the light of that, over if you would, in the light of this hostility, just to bring that to the front. A Numbers chapter, Jeremiah chapter 11. Jeremiah chapter 11 and in verse, to pick it up directly, verse 21, 11:21. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, the men of Anathoth, that seek thy face, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand, if you speak and honor the assignment and speak God's word to us, we'll kill you. That's pretty clear. Now, Anathoth is his own town. It's about 3 miles from Jerusalem. Here's Jerusalem, and here's his hometown up here. Here's Ramah, 2 miles more. That's where Samuel was born. So now, God, the men of the people of your town, you grew up with them. That's right. They want you dead. Over, if you would, please, to chapter 12. And you'll recall in verse 6, Jeremiah was encouraged to understand that whatever was difficult is going to be more difficult. Whatever has been difficult is going to get more difficult. That's what he told them. No. But God's with him. He needs a commitment. And God levels with us. We shared the other day the Bible, God's word, the reason, and it is God's word. No human would have written it like it is written. It's impossible. No human would write like that, would even say that about humans. And God does. God gives the rugged reality of life, what it really is like. And that's why when you read John 13, 14, 15, 16 in the upper room, 17, he levels right on the table. And he tells them so that, you know, if you think this is a picnic, no, your assignment is in great hostile territory. So now here in Jeremiah chapter 12, again, in verse 6, and even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. They've recruited a whole lot of people. They're getting a big gang. They want a great multitude. They want to come with many against you. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. Don't believe them. They're out to get you. Jeremiah, they're out to get you. So Jeremiah is thus a chapter 6, Jeremiah. God makes Jeremiah, as we shared last time, I have set thee for a tower, watchtower, a tower where the sentry's looking out there, watching for the enemy, keeping an eye on what's going on, examining, watching, etc. Jeremiah is a tower, that's the word we read in John, Jeremiah 1:18, a fortress, a tower, a high tower, we read. That's a fortress. For a tower, and thus here, and a fortress, that's in Jeremiah 1:18. And among thy people, and thou, that the reason God protects them, he's out there as a fortress, God's watching, Jeremiah has a job to examine, and God's going to protect him while he examines. And that he may know and try their way. So Jeremiah is going to be, and the word try, to take oil, ore, silver, gold, and take it out of the ground and smelt it down to get purity. And Jeremiah's job is to be a smelter, to be a trier, a tester, a refiner of ore, of gold, silver. And thus, in the process of that, being a refiner, He's going to go, and he has, and no one has access to him. Remember, he's a defensed city. That's the word fortress, a defensed city. And thus, he is in an inaccessible, the word inaccessible is good, inaccessible stronghold. No success can be access, no access can be found. Is there a way to get to Jeremiah to knock him off, to get him out of the picture? He's inaccessible, That's why he has to have a commitment here, because God is going to keep him, and he doesn't need to be afraid. Now, in the light of that, chapter 15, just to fill in a couple of pieces, in chapter 15, we're going to find our word again. And in the context, Jeremiah, remember that commitment has to stay, and God's holding him to it. So when I come to chapter 15, and in verse 15, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me, and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. He's really getting clobbered. But thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me for me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts. I enjoyed you. It's a wonderful thing, God, just to hear anything from you, to be able to read it. Wow. But, verse 17, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers that were talking all about me, after me, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. And I'm looking, and it's a very difficult assignment, very dangerous, but no problem, no problem about the danger at all. Verse 18. Why is my pain perpetual? Because this is his own family, his friends, etc. And they're against him. They want to kill him. Well, where am I going to find somebody that will agree with me, apart from Ezekiel, Daniel? And Daniel and Ezekiel are over in Babylon. Jeremiah's in Jerusalem. So now, why is my pain perpetual, verse 18, and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, as the waters that fail? God, what I need a little something. God said, all right. Verse 19, therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again. If thou stand before me, if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not unto them. So God said, you get your heart and your heart back right with me. You're complaining. You're having a pity party. Quit the pity party. Get with it. You get your get back on target, Jeremiah. And don't give me all the words. They're useless words. Don't mix all up the wonderful truth and what I'm doing with all your thoughts and feelings and fears and faults and everything. And when it comes to the people, I'm not looking for the people. I'm not looking for you to run into the mockers, the people that are rebellious. I'm not looking for you to go and have lunch with them. No, no, I'm not. They are to return to you. You do not go to them. A principle, we have it. You come here, we don't go there. You don't go there. That's the principle. And you don't do that. Now, and that's how God works. And just think how many people returned to John the Baptist after calling them hypocrites and everything. And John the Baptist never said, "Oh, I think I'll go to Jerusalem and have a special party for them and see if they'll like me more." He didn't do that. He never did that at all. No, you listen, you're representing God. And the world, the system, is not N-O-T for you. It's against you. You have to be careful you don't give the world the impression that God is going to go with you. God tolerates something. God doesn't tolerate it at all. At all. We like to think he would because people do and don't care. But God isn't like that. So now, thus you have in verse 20, "And I will make thee," when you take your position like you should, I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen or bronze wall," and there's your word, "fortified wall." I'll make you a wall of bronze. Let's see them get through that. Let's see them get through. It's inaccessible. "And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee." Why not? "For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible." Terrible. So Jeremiah is to be encouraged to keep on keeping on and to stay with it, not to back off. And hang in there. Remember, look at the word fenced, fortified, defense, fortified city. Fortified city. Jeremiah is a city with a wall that you couldn't get through. You couldn't break down the wall. The wall is inaccessible. Now, Jeremiah, you're going to go from the fire into the frying pan, from the frying pan into the fire. It's not going to get any better, but be of good cheer. Chapter 33. And you will note, Jeremiah is in prison again. He's in prison. And that's funny, he's in prison. I just think it's interesting that God does these things in such a wonderful way to teach. And that's part of this. God is putting Jeremiah in a school. Though Israel may not get much out of this, but Jeremiah does. Jeremiah learns a lot. Job, in his great suffering and heartache, learned a lot. The people around, his friends, didn't learn a lot. The people didn't learn a lot. But Job did. In your world, people come and go and say, "Well, they didn't need to learn, and they need to learn." No, they may never learn. But you ought to learn. You ought to learn. Now, pick it up, chapter 33, verse 1. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, when he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Now, here's Jeremiah in prison. What are you going to do in prison? What are you going to do to help anybody? You can't go anywhere. You're in prison. And thus, God, what are you telling him? Well, he said, "Call upon me, but I'm in prison." Call upon me anyway, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Do you see the word "mighty things"? That is the word fortress. Inaccessible. Inaccessible. I will show you things that are inaccessible. No one has them. No one can know them. But I'm going to give them to you. I'm going to show you that which no one could know. No one could know. I'm going to do that for you. Great and mighty, mighty, inaccessible things which thou knowest not. I'm going to do that for you. So that when you call upon me, I'm going to bring to light the invisible great things, the wonderful things that I'm going to do. I'm going to teach you, Jeremiah. I'm going to teach you that which only those that go in the classroom where I am teaching, they're the only ones that learn this. The rest of the people didn't go to class and didn't learn the lesson. Now, Jeremiah, in the light of that, Over, if you would please, well, keeping that in, a little bit there while you're there. God, you're going to help Jeremiah, that's right. God's going to give his word and his will. And God's going to help Jeremiah face the realities, the awesome, awesome realities, the conditions and the character and the course of this world. This world system, as exemplified in this case by Israel in their unbelief. I'm going to help you understand Jeremiah. I'm going to expose you more and more to the realities of the real world and the real conditions and the real character. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to help you, Jeremiah. I'm going to help you learn something. So now, over to Ezekiel chapter 2, just to have his companion over in Babylon see how he's doing with the same thing. In Ezekiel chapter 2, picking up, if I can, in chapter 2, let's go, if I can, over to verse 4. Ezekiel's assignment is to go to the same people that are in Babylon. Jeremiah's over here, and those people are going to end up in Babylon. Not all of them, but most of them are going to end up in Babylon. And they're the same crowd that's in Jerusalem. Now, and in chapter 2, verse 4, they are impudent, hard-headed, hard-hearted children, and impudent, hard-hearted children. Stiff-hearted, hard-hearted. I do not send thee unto them, and thou shalt say, I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. And now, verse 10. And he spread what he's going to have to say. Ezekiel's going to say, it isn't pleasant. It isn't pleasant, whether they hear or not. Verse 7, why not? Verse 7. Thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will not hear. For they are more rebellious. For they are most rebellious. You're going to say it anyway. Verse 10. And he spread it forth, the word, what he was going to have to say. And it was written within and without, very full, complete. And there was written therein, what are you going to find? Wonderful little stories and wonderful recipes and a good words. No. You're going to find lamentations and mourning and woe. That's your assignment. Your assignment. So, but, Jeremiah is hanging in there. Heart's getting tougher. Has to get tougher. You know, if you were in a war, literal war, and you go and you go to boot camp and you get to boot camp and you got to get somewhat toughened up. True. You got to get the sergeant treats you wrong and everything, and you have to adjust to the people and your fellow compadres and they do whatever. But then you get gone and then you get to the battlefield, and boy, the battlefield, just think of landing on the beach in Normandy or something else. And you land in that, and boy, and then you keep going, and you wait, and it gets harder and harder and harder. But that's the battlefield. It doesn't get easier, because in order to win, you got to keep going. You got to roll up your sleeves. You can't back off and win a war and quit. No matter who gets hurt, the head gets blown off or something else, you know. That's one of the things that you have if you ever go to up in Boston with Bunker Hill battlefield. You know, they have that near Ironside or whatever's up there, and the aquarium. Anyway, you can go to the show. It's a thing they put on, and you, at least they did. And you stand in the row like this, and you're in Bunker Hill looking out there down on the battlefield with the British and that, and standing there. And you're there, and the men are around you, because you know, you sense it. They show that kind of thing, and then you're there listening, watching the battlefield, and the noise going off, and boom, the guy's head next to you gets blown off. Boy, that wakes you up. The guy's head was there, and the next thing, his head's gone. The cannonball took it. Real. The real battle to win the war. You've got to pay the price. You've got to have commitment. If you don't, you'll never make it, because it's not an easy thing. Humanity is horrendously bad. Do you understand? Now you say, well, I don't feel so bad in our humanness. I don't feel so bad. But in the light of God's holy heaven and righteousness, how bad does God, how bad are you? How bad is a person from God's point of view? Not from each other, because we all feel each other, we're okay. But from God's point of view, how bad are people? How bad are they? And it costs God his son. That's how bad. Bad. We don't feel bad. Jeremiah, what are you doing? I'm helping God. What is it? God, you're helping Jeremiah discover. How does God see things? Not how do you see them. How does God see them? How is God looking at it? Remember, we always share that. Always take God's side of the fence. Always be on God's side of the railroad tracks. Don't be on human side. Stay on God's side. Stay with God. Don't quit. Don't even, like we shared Sunday in Sunday school, don't step off that safety zone. Now, in Ezekiel, thus, with all of that, I didn't mean to, in verse chapter 3, picking up, please, quickly, in verse 2, so I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll, and he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with the roll that I give thee. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey of sweetness. And he said unto me, son of man, go get thee into the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. And thou art sent to a people, not sent to a people of a strange speech, of a foreign language, they're your own people, and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. And thus, verse 6, not to many people of a strange speech, and of a hard language, though whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. They would have had more response. I'll give it to you another way. It's safer for Sodom and Gomorrah than for Chorazin. It's safer. They're all condemned, but the Sodom and Gomorrah is condemned. No question. But woe unto thee, Chorazin, etc. You knew better. You knew. You are going to get it. You're going to pay for that. You knew something, and you did nothing with it. And God holds them accountable. So now, here's Jeremiah. Here's Ezekiel out there, and Ezekiel's warned, and remember, without turning into all those things, if I can, verse 18, just for the sake of saying it. When I say unto the wicked, 3 and 18, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. No, you're not going to change anything, but his blood will I require at thy hand, etc. You ease off. Remember Jeremiah 1 and 17. I'm going to bring it back upon you. You're going to pay. You're going to pay. You didn't follow my instructions, and you're going to pay for that. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you got an assignment. It's not an easy one. No. And we don't like assignments like that. We wish they were a little better. So we mentioned Job and that, and here's Jeremiah being educated and exercised, and he is learning about God who loves him. How so? By way of God's judgments. By way of his judgment. You're going to learn about God's great love by his judgment. That's what you're going to learn. That's a hard lesson, but it's a way to learn. God loves. God loves. And God so loved the world that he would pay the price of his son to save wretches that defy him and to give him opportunity to be saved. That's amazing. That's utterly amazing. Amazing. Wow. Now, in the light of that, over if you would please, I want to just pick up a little of the flavor of it. It may not get very far, but over if you would please, Nehemiah and a chapter, oh no, Ezra. Ezra. Ezra is ahead of Nehemiah. Ezra chapter 9. I'm trying to get the principle for you. In order, you want to see God's saving grace and God's wonderful, caring love. In order to see it, you've got to see the condition of the human heart. You've got to see the condition of the world so that you appreciate the great love wherewith he loves us. Now watch. Ezra, Nehemiah, coming back. In the days they're going to build the temple, rebuild it, nothing like Solomon's. And in the process, there have all kinds of opposition, etc. But these men, Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah. Now, chapter 9, picking up, please, if I can, directly, verse 13. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing thou, our God, hath punished us less than our iniquities deserve. Isn't that good? God, we got less. You were merciful. I should have got, using a silly illustration, I should have got 500 whacks, and God only gave me 5. God, you're gracious. We deserve so much. Yeah, I know. But God, you didn't give us, and we're evil. That's right, you aren't evil. But are you looking at the world around you? Yeah, I am. And when I see it, I see myself. Don't you see yourself? Look at people. Grocery store, work, home, school. Just be, sort of sit and have an interesting exercise and watch people. Watch them. Listen to them. Watch and listen to them. Wow. An exercise. And try to figure out in what they do and what they say and how they do it, how is anything ever going to get right if you follow them? If you follow their logic, their thinking, where do you think that's going to go? Going to go nowhere. You pay attention. Ezra, we're guilty. I see them, I see me. I'm part of them. Aren't you? We're part of it. We're part of what's going on in our country. We all contributed. Say, well, I'm only 3 years old. Well, you didn't contribute as much as someone 30 years old. That's true. But we all contributed to what we have. We're all part of it. Like it or not, we're part of it. And God, when we see it, we see ourselves. So, Ezra, verse 14, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldst not thou be angry with us if we did that? Us till thou hadst consumed us? So that there should be no remnant nor escaping. God, if we keep going in the wrong way, there won't be anything left. Not just our little remnant here in Ezra and Nehemiah. Not just us 70,000 or so. Not just us, no. Would be all gone, God. Verse 15. O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, and for we remain yet escaped, as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. And Ezra said, listen, we've got to get our heart right. And at least, Ezra, you're tuned in to the realities of the judgment of God. And you realize the grace of God and the love of God. And you're looking for God to exercise his wonderful plan and purpose that exceeds our understanding. And we would never work it out. We wouldn't know how to work it out. But God, you can work it out. And that's what God is now doing. Thus over to Nehemiah, same thing. Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. Picking up, please. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 30. Again. And yet many years didst thou forbear them, and testifiest against them by thy spirit in thy prophets, yet would they not give ear. They wouldn't hear. They didn't want to hear at all. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. So they ended up going into captivity. Verse 31. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. Now therefore, our God, the great and the mighty and the terrible God, who keepest covenant and mercy, let not all the troubles seem little. God, don't you pray that sometime? God, isn't it good, God, you don't see it as big trouble? My big problem is little. The government's problem, little. The world's problem is little. God, it's good. Good, there's no big problem too big. Now, so, in verse 32, now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, the terrible God, who keepest covenant and mercy, let not all this trouble seem little before thee, that thou hast come upon us, on our kings, on our princes, on our priests, on our prophets, on our fathers, and on all thy people, since the time of the king of Assyria unto this day. And thus, Jeremiah, all the way down, they haven't changed. And the people, the kings, the prophets, they're still the same. Verse 33. Howbeit, thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. God, now they didn't, Nehemiah didn't do that, but he understands in his own heart, apart from God, I'd do the same thing. We have a saying sometime you use, there but by the grace of God go on. Go I. I'd be just like that, apart from the grace of God. Wow. Now that helps. That helps. God, I need to see it from your point of view. Otherwise, we're going to fudge over and miss the whole thing. And we don't want to do that, as you're going to see, if we can get there. But now, in the light of that, over if you would, and you know, oh, Second Timothy. In Second Timothy, please, picking up, if I may, in chapter 2, God picked and chose Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was given an assignment, and he had to have a commitment to it. God would keep him, but he had to have a commitment. No matter what, thick and thin, he had to keep it. Now, God will do it. God is going to protect his position. God is going to protect his practice. So Jeremiah doesn't need to sweat. He just needs to make sure he's on target. Thus, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. God, what are you going to say about us, about anyone? And I'll read verse 20 even. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and set apart, fit meat or fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, Jeremiah, you want to. Jeremiah was to be a participant, and Timothy was to understand being a participant in God's wonderful working and what God was doing with him. And God did a wonderful thing with Timothy. And Timothy, remember, spent 20 years as a mailman, servant to the Apostle Paul. He never is called an elder, never called the pastor, never called him. He was just there, humble, lowly believer for God. And God blessed him. God blessed him. Wow. Now, so here in a vessel, vessel fit for the master's use, you know the Apostle Paul, when he saved in Acts chapter 9, you have to turn there, and he is a vessel fit for my use. I have chosen him. I have chosen him. God, you chose Jeremiah, uh-huh. And you chose Paul, uh-huh. And you chose Job. By that I mean Job trusted you, and you chose him for a wonderful outworking illustration of your goodwill. So God, here we are looking at all of this, and protector, you're the protector, you're the provider. You assure us of each day on planet Earth, regardless of what we eat or don't eat, what we do or don't do. If our sleeves are rolled up, going down, looking to God, God help us learn, understand, discover. Then God will have to get us to where he wants us to be, to have our work what he wants to have. All right. So now that's wonderful. What's that got to do with me? Over, if you would, please, in what we have left. Over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, God tells the believing believers, Ephesians, in verse chapter 1, verse 4. And I'm going to read verse 3 because it's such a wonderful introduction. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all, A-L-L, spiritual blessings. Where are all these blessings found? In the heavenly places in Christ, places in italics, in the heavenlies in Christ. All of it's in Christ. Uh-huh. According as he hath chosen, elected, selected, according as he hath chosen us in him. So here, in Christ, is all the blessing and benefits of heaven, of all of God's wonderful person. You're going to find all of God's wonderful person, the blessing and benefits and bliss in his person. And where is this person going to be put forth? In the person of Jesus Christ. In the person of Jesus Christ, you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ died for you. Verse 4. That he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He has chosen us, qualified us, to what? To be in Christ, in the place where all spiritual blessing is. We are chosen in that place. And Jeremiah, we think you had a wonderful, wonderful position, but Jeremiah, we wouldn't trade with you for nothing, because we're way ahead of you. We're way ahead of you, Jeremiah. We're way ahead of you, Job. We're way ahead. Wow. Do people appreciate it? Being way ahead? They don't even understand it. We're way ahead. Wow. Now keep going. And so, in the light of that, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And if I may, picking up, please, Oh, you'll have our little word in verse 4. The Lord is gracious, verse 3, verse 4. To whom coming to the Lord, as unto a living stone, disallowed, rejected, indeed, of men, but chosen of God and precious. He is chosen. He's chosen. He's chosen. He is the chosen one. Verse 6. Wherefore, also, it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, Jerusalem. Elect, there's your word elect, chosen, precious, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. So, in Christ, he's the chosen one. That's God's, before the foundation of the earth. We are chosen in him before the foundation of the earth. Christ died, and you have every right to be there, unless you reject him. Now, and in verse 6, we need to believe, so we're not confounded, not confused, not troubled. Wow. We need to look to God because he is the elect chosen one. So where do we find our confidence for protection in him? Where do we find it for provision in Christ? Where's your safety? Where's your permanency? Where's your anything? It's located in the person of Jesus Christ, chosen of God. Jeremiah is chosen and protected. But you and I, we have wonderful privilege, you and me, to be chosen in Christ. Now, hang on to that. Over, if you would, please. If you can, to verse 9. Verse 9. But you are a chosen, elected generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar, special people. What for? That you may show forth the praises, the wonderful superiority, the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are to show forth the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ in a most wonderful way because we are chosen in him, wonderfully, wonderfully chosen in him. And God, you have done that so wonderfully. Now, God, here we are, and we're just, you've made a position, we have a position in Christ, we're protected in Christ, we have a purpose in him to show forth who he is. And how can we show forth who he is? He isn't a pauper. He's rich. How am I going to show forth cruelty? He isn't cruel. He's good and gracious. So my whole life is to what? Allow my little life, your little life, our lives to manifest, allow God to be who he is. Who he is, and he'll exemplify himself in the person of Jesus Christ, in whom who has chosen us to be saved, set apart, sanctified, so that the world can see. So we are able to have a huge advantage in our poverty. The whole world, our own flesh is against us. The world system is against us. The God of this world, the devil himself, is against us. The demons in the room are against us. But God is for us. And if God be for us, then what? Who shall be against us? Now, all right. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, in closing, over if you would please, to 1 Corinthians. Why not? 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. And you'll pick it up so that if you feel that you're inferior, good. If you feel you're nobody, wonderful. Wonderful. Good. You have a good shot of fitting in. I'll read it. You'll see it. You know it. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For reason, we see our calling, your calling, brethren, Corinthians, etc., us, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But on the other hand, God hath chosen, there's your little verb, chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen, there's your word, the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base and low things of the world, the things which are despised, God hath chosen, there's your word for the third time. And the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why, God? Why? Why? What are we? Nothing. Is that all right? Sure it is. What's the whole purpose? Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So it isn't anything about us. So I say, well, I should be chosen. Am I good enough? No, you never do that. No, that's a pity party. You don't want to do that. On the contrary, you're nothing. And God's everything. And God saved you. If you let him, then be saved. And you're protected to be saved. Who can take away your eternal life? How's that? Is that all right to say that? I want to know if your eternal life is protected. You're all thinking about it? Who's going to pluck you out of his hand, John 10? If he's more than a conqueror, then how is anyone going to conquer you? They can't ultimately do it. They could do it for a moment, but only for a moment. God, here's Jeremiah discovering his own humanity and the need for the wonderful saving grace of God. In the judgment of God, he finds the love of God. In the love of God, he finds judgment. And it's all right. It's all right. You say, well, the world can't be that bad. We are that bad. We are that bad. And the sooner we face up to it, the quicker we get on our feet and we run the race. We play the game. Good guy, good girl. The more that we play that game, we lose. We lose the game. No, you got to get to where you're free. The truth will make you free. What do you think free means? Free means to buy a Sunday? No. Free means to be able to function, to be able to fulfill, to be able to be fruitful, to have it. Wow, God gives it to us. Now, we didn't finish it. I wanted to finish Jeremiah. Not the book, but to finish the chapter. You got a little bit? It's a wonderful thing God did. Jeremiah is the examiner. In examining Israel, he sees his own heart. And God helps him. And after all, Israel isn't going to see at this point. But Jeremiah can. The world around you may not see, understand. But you need to. You be the immediate benefit, one who benefits. You see. You understand. You go to work, school, and home with a better understanding so that you can handle the world better. And the more you see yourself, the more you'll see the world, the more you see the world, the more you see yourself, and you're growing. You're growing. And you'll appreciate more and more being saved. God's mercy, God's grace. Wow. And we've got to pray. Don't forget the Bible line, the prison ministry, the website, the people in need coming and going, the harvest supper, dinner coming up, the Thanksgiving's coming up, Christmas is coming up, holidays. And in all of that,